Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we certainly remember the morning of September the 11th, 2001, when 2,976 people lost their lives in New York, at the Pentagon, and here, Lord, in our wonderful state at the Flight 93. And today, God, 15 years later, we pause to remember that moment of horror, and pray for those left scarred by those terrible events. We remember the first time we heard the news. We recall the first time we saw those images. Images, Lord, burned in our psyche and upon our hearts. We remember the way our thoughts and prayers were with those families and those that lost loved ones and friends. And God, our thoughts are with them even again today, these many years later. We remember those who survived. We recall their stories, their heartbreaking stories. We remember that their lives are forever scarred by the events and the moments of that day. And our thoughts and prayers are with them again. We recall, Lord, the pain we felt. We recall the bereavement and bitterness, the aftermath. But even so, Lord, we remember that you are a God of redemption and restoration. And dear God, even as we seek justice, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive those, Lord, that caused so much trauma. Help us to find release in that forgiveness. God, remind us most of all that you are the God who loves this world. And even though, Lord, we recall those days, we also recall that you sent your Son to bring reconciliation, salvation. And Lord, we remember that your Spirit inhabits us today and gives us hope. So God, bring us comfort and peace today on this anniversary. And most of all, Lord, may we remember you and your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. May we never, ever forget. I'm excited about this text. I really am. And I want to talk to you about closing the distance. I've been anticipating this for some weeks now. Let me kind of set the stage for how I want you to think about this. Have you ever noticed that most of life is about where you are and where you are going? Or more specifically, where you are and where you want to be? Or even more specifically, where you are and where you ought to be or where you should be? Life is a lot about movement. It's about understanding you're in one place and knowing that you need to be in another place, right? Some of us are here this morning and you know that. You are in a place in life and you know that it's not the place that God wants you to be, where you should be, where you ought to be, and you understand that you need to be moving. You need to go somewhere else. That's what I mean by closing the distance. A lot of life is about that. It's about that, about education, you know, right? We wanna be educated. We wanna get a degree. It's about moving from not having a degree to knowing that when you get that degree, when you achieve that, that there will be more opportunities available to you, there will be better opportunities available to you, and you can have more, do more, be more. In life, closing the distance, where you are and where you should be or where you ought to be. You know, actually, as I started thinking about this, and I wondered if whether or not I, you know, should even go here, but it's a hunting term, right? We got any hunters here this morning? About closing the distance, right? I had a friend teach me about bow hunting, and he said that success in bow hunting is understanding where the deer are and where they're going, and to park yourself right in between there so that they have to pass you as they move from where they are to where they're going. It's called closing the distance. You know, you ever seen these hunting shows out west? And, you know, they're looking out over this plain, and here's this large trophy out there, and they decide they have to test the wind, and they have to close the distance. In other words, they're not close enough to achieve their desired result. Therefore, they have to figure out a way, and, you know, a kind of stealth way to get closer, to get in the vicinity so that they can achieve a desired result. I'll never forget, you know, our good friend, your good friend, Carl DeCaspers. He was here last service. He and I were talking about this. He taught us in our elders meeting some years ago about how, you know, it's about understanding your current reality and then realizing your desired result and then making some action steps to get from your current reality to your desired result. Closing the distance. It's no different in your spiritual life. I mean, as you look at your life and realizing where you are and where you ought to be. Well, as I got to thinking about that, I went on an adventure reading the Bible and studying passages where this was illustrated. And this is all based on Mark chapter 5, verse 6, where you read these words. It says that when he saw Jesus from a distance. Now, I'm going to look at the surrounding words in that passage here in just a few minutes. But he saw Jesus from a distance. You know, here he is. And he sees Jesus and he realizes that if he closes the distance, if he gets closer to Jesus, he'll get something that he wants. He'll become something that he desires. You see this over and over in Scripture. You know, passages like in the Old Testament with Moses and the burning bush, it says that he saw a bush that was burning but was not consumed. So he said to himself, I will go over there and I will see and experience this strange thing. He could have just walked on by. But see, he wanted to get a closer look. Have you ever felt that way about God? Some of us are like that. You know, we want to get a closer look. Maybe that's why you're here today. You know, somebody's talked to you, shared with you about the ministry of First Church, I don't know, and you want to get a closer look. Well, that's a good reason to be here in the beginning. You know, there's another place where it's in the ministry of Jesus, and it says that this woman had an issue of blood. In other words, she was, she had this problem, and obviously, from the context of the passage, she had encountered Jesus. She had seen Jesus. She had seen Jesus deal with other people. She had probably seen Jesus heal other people. And it says, the Bible says about this woman, she said, I just want to get close enough to touch the hem of his garment and I will be healed. Closing the distance. She understood what she had, and she understood also that if she got closer, that something better could come her way. You see this over and over and over again in the Bible. And we're gonna look at these passages, some of them, over the next several weeks. But let's start here. I don't know if you understand or know about this passage and the greater context of Mark 5, 6, when he says that he saw Jesus from a distance and he wanted to get closer. The parable is what we know of as Jesus restoring a demon-possessed man. Now, let me just, in a few bullet points here, give you the story from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. It's interesting because it begins by saying that Jesus was in a boat and he was crossing a lake to another region with his disciples. In other words, even Jesus here had this idea of closing the distance, of getting closer, getting somewhere else, and something good happening because of that. But it said when Jesus got out of the boat, it says a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Now I find that really interesting. You know, you wonder, did this guy heard about Jesus? How did he know about him? You know, was he kind of lying in wait, thinking he might come, and just was kind of hanging around just in case He showed up, but he came out of the tombs to meet him. Why out of the tombs? Well, it says that he lived there. He lived there. He had a terrible life. He was demon possessed. That's why he lived among the tombs. And then verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And he said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus did something really peculiar. He looked right at this man and he said, "What's your name?" You remember the response? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many." That not only was this man tormented by an impure spirit, but he had many demons living inside of him. And then you know the story, right? Jesus cast these demons out of this man and put them in a herd of pigs out on the hillside. And then all of the pigs ran down the hill into the lake and they were drowned. And then interesting, the Bible tells about how other people viewed this, and it says that they all started talking, and they were amazed because they saw this man who was demon-possessed, and they saw him sitting, dressed, in his right mind, and they were afraid. And then the people, ironically, asked Jesus to leave their land because of that fear. So he got in his boat and he left. You know, as I think about this passage, there's a number of lessons that jump off the page at me. And as they jump off the page at me, let me share them with you in hopes that these lessons will help you close the distance. Right? I mean, isn't that the way it happens? By someone helping, sharing, encouraging you? You get to this point where you are closer to the Lord than you've ever been. Here's some of the lessons that just really leap off the page at me. The first one is in the first part of that text when it talks about the description of this man's life. And the lesson for me and the lesson I want to share with you is that for us to close the distance, we have to understand our own life, who we are, the good, the bad, the ugly. Look at what it says about it. He had an impure spirit. He lived in the tombs. Why? Because no one could bind him anymore, not even a chain. For one had often been He had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself. Why? Because his life was so miserable. Do you understand your life? Do you know who you are and whose you are? Do you know where you are and why you're there? You know, are you honest enough with yourself to describe even to yourself and in your own mind and in your own heart exactly what's there? All the foibles, all of the ugly places, all of the things that are so unlike Christ. You see, folks, this man, he could never get close without understanding just really how far away he was. But I think it's beautiful in that even though all of these things were difficult for him, all of these things were wrong in his life, he still came. He still came up to Jesus. He still approached Jesus. I think the reason for that is that deep down he understood that if there was any answer for him in his predicament, it was Jesus. Have you ever felt that desperate? Have you ever been in that ugly of a spot, of a place in life? If you have, I hope that you understand that still, even then, in Jesus, you can find wholeness and wellness and truth. It was so funny last night because at this game, I told you I bought these tickets 2 years ago, and I shared one with my sister-in-law who was a Virginia Tech fan. Well, it was the only maroon in the whole section where we were, okay? And it was kind of funny because she looked so out of place. But you know what? That didn't bother her in the least. And I thought, hey, I knew that. I know this family. I know how they react. And, you know, I mean, have you ever been so intimidated by your surroundings that you're even afraid to speak up? This man, he understood who he was. He understood his predicament. He understood how bad it looked for him. But yet still, when he saw Jesus, he knew that there was the answer. Here's a second lesson that I think is beautiful here. It comes from the latter part of verse number 8, when it says, "For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.'" Here's the lesson. Regardless of how difficult your situation is, regardless of how bad you think your life is, God will always help you with your biggest issue. Did you know that? God will always help you with your biggest issue. Jesus looked right at him and said, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Jesus understood what his biggest issue was. And guess what? I think he understood what his biggest issue was. And he also realized here, when he got close to Jesus, when he closed the distance, he realized that God would help him with his biggest issue. But first of all, you have to admit what that issue is. Have you done that? You know, that's one of the beautiful things about recovery, the process of recovery and of recovery groups. You know, it's one of the great things about this recovery group that we're wanting to start here, Celebrate Recovery. You have to understand that you are powerless to fix your biggest issue, and to understand that God has promised that he will help you with your biggest issue. So he brought it to Christ, and Christ cleansed him of that impure spirit. And if you jump down to the end of the story, you will see it says that this man was sitting, he was dressed, he was in his right mind. Things that he had not experienced for many, many years. But yet because he understood this, because God helped him with his biggest issue, then he was able to enjoy wholeness and wellness. The third lesson is kind of a paradox a little bit difficult to understand, but nonetheless I think a very important lesson. It comes from verse 10, right after Jesus asked him his name, and he says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then Jesus begins this series of singular and plural. He says, "Then he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area." And you know, the lesson for me, and I think the lesson for you, is that Jesus can do that for us. When he helps us with our biggest issue, he will multiply that over and over and over. Think about it. He didn't send away one spirit. He sent away them all. He didn't just free him of one big issue. He freed him of all of the issues. And it led to his wholeness and to his wellness in Christ. But here's lesson 4. Because when God does this for you, when he does it for me, sometimes those around us will misunderstand what God has done and our desire to serve him. It says in verse number 14 and 15 that the people that saw this, that they were afraid. Don't you find that ironic? Because they were afraid of the man when he was living in the tombs, when he couldn't be bound, when no man was strong enough to hold him, to subdue him. And now they're afraid of him, even though he's sitting and he's dressed in his right mind. Here's the thing, it's a different kind of fear. You know, the first kind of fear was, oh my goodness, this person may hurt me, harm me, kill me. The second kind of fear is, oh my goodness, I'm afraid because I don't understand it. I don't get it. How can this be? But you see, what you have to do is you have to make sure that you believe and you understand that God is a big part of this. You know, one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again is you have a family, let's say, and this family has a family member that's really struggling, maybe an addiction, you know, maybe a mental illness or something. And then they get freedom from that. They get wholeness from that. They become well. And all of a sudden, they're seeking God. They're asking God to lead them and to guide them. And a lot of times, I've watched as that person's extended family has watched this happen. And all of a sudden, they're worried. They're scared. They don't understand it. They wonder if it's real. And just on and on and on it goes. And the interesting thing is that the person that has the great issue that needs God's help, that needs to get closer to God and find wholeness and wellness, is not any different from the other people who may seem like they have all that, but yet they need to stay close too so they can understand it, so they can realize what God is doing, so they can appreciate what God is doing, so they can trust God in what He is doing. So think about those lessons as you look at this passage. And understand that through it all, it's all about getting close to God. But then there's one other thing, and I think it's really interesting. Verse 18 through 20. Look at it here. This is the end of the passage. After everything had happened, after everything had transpired, after this guy got close to God and gained wholeness and healness through that closeness. So then Jesus was getting into the boat. He's going to go somewhere else. And the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. And Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, the 10-city region of that area, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. You know what's amazing to me? Is that the guy wasn't close. And then he got close and he was changed. And then he wanted to stay close. And Jesus said no. But yet, he explains here why Jesus said no. Jesus said no because he said, I want you to go back. And I want you to go back to your home, your region, and I want you to tell people what God has done for you. And if you read this passage, and if you read it correctly, and I think that I have, many people were changed. Many people were amazed. And many people's lives were different because of the closeness that this man received from Jesus, and then also because Jesus didn't let him remain close geographically, but sent him back to his home with a mission to tell others. Now let me ask you a kind of a personal question. Why is this not replicated as much in our lives today? I mean, if getting close to Jesus, I think, which many of us have, hopefully all of us will, Why hasn't it had the same kind of effect as we see here? And you know why I think it is? I think it's because people, when they look at us, they don't see the same things that they see here. They don't see the dynamic change. They don't see the total dedication. I just don't think they see it. Thereby, they kind of stay on the fringes and maybe experience Jesus from afar. But folks, I'm convinced, and I challenge each of us here today to close the distance, to get close to Jesus and to stay close to Him. And I'm not talking about geographically, but I'm talking about in spirit and in service to Him. And then allow God to use that as we share that change with others, to help change them. You know, one thing, and I'm done. Have you ever told something in your life, some story, something that happened to you? Have you ever told something like that over and over and over again? I mean, maybe to your family, you know, you repeat it. Or maybe to everybody that you meet. Everybody that you meet, you make sure that they know this one thing that happened to you, this one thing that you've done or achieved, this one thing about your life or about your background. Do you have something like that? I'm sure most of you could say, you know what, Pastor John, you've done that a lot with me. I've heard you tell, you know, whatever, right? We all have that story, don't we? We all have that encounter. We have that experience that we share with everybody. You know, when I was thinking about that, I thought, John, why don't you do that kind of thing about what Jesus has done for you? I mean, if I tell everybody about my kids or about my fam, about my dog, about my job. You know, if there's one thing that I always tell everybody I meet about, shouldn't I have that same kind of attitude about what Christ has done for me? That's why Jesus said to him, no, you cannot go with me. Because everybody else that lives where you live needs to know that if they get close to me like you've gotten close to me, their life can be changed too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, teach us from the heart of this parable how important it is, Lord, that we close the distance. How important it is, Lord, that we don't just stay on the perimeter and experience you from a distance, but that, God, we close that distance, that we run right up to you, Lord, and we bow on our knees and we declare that we need help with a big issue, and then, Lord, that we trust that you'll help us with that. And then, Lord, I know there'll be people that'll misunderstand and be afraid or maybe even amazed. But yet, Lord, over time, we can tell that story over and over and over again. The way that you changed us. And you can use it to change others. Father, may it be so, and may it be so as we are strengthened as we sing about how great you are and how much that we love you. So, Lord, as we sing about that great theme, may even the words that we speak and the words that we sing and what goes on in our hearts, Lord, that we can just see the distance closing between us and you, our Lord and Savior. And that, Lord, that we get so close that we can't help but be changed. May it be so, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.